Now we're checking in with a Milwaukee program that has helped more than 1,600 people get housing since it was founded in 2015. Milwaukee County Housing Division's Housing First program secures housing for homeless people, no strings attached. It's different from many conventional homelessness outreach programs, which might require individuals be sober before they're allowed housing. Housing First is based on a national model. It was founded in New York and has been replicated around the world. Eric Collins-Dyke is the Assistant Administrator of Supportive Housing and Homeless Services for the Milwaukee County Housing Division. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
I gave the very basics there, Eric. Can you talk more about how Housing First works in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think, you know, back in 2015, we started to realize some of the more antiquated models of housing that required sobriety, different tiers of adherence to certain things to access housing. It just wasn't working for the individuals we were serving on the street. And so Housing First is essentially the name, and that housing comes first before anything. You know, we fundamentally believe that housing is a basic human right. And so what we started to do is we started to look at ways that we get individuals off the street quickly into housing and into safe and supportive spaces. And what we realized is by offering Housing First directly off the street and then wrapping the services around them once they were in housing, which was much more conducive, number one, to ending their homelessness, and number two, to keeping them off the street consistently, where they weren't going in somewhere and then ending up back on the street. So essentially what we do is we offer our scattered site voucher programs to individuals who are on the street, wraparound case management once they get in housing, and then work with them on their goals after they're in their apartment, as opposed to previously having to require all of those things before they were in an apartment. And as you can imagine, trying to survive on the street on a daily basis and also adhering to all of those requirements got really tough for the folks we were serving who were outdoors.
And now I think when I think of a public service, for better or worse, I think of a lot of paperwork and bureaucracy before you can make something happen. Obviously, if you're homeless, you probably don't have access to a computer with internet or things like that. How do you help expedite that for people so they can get connected with this service?
Yeah, so our outreach team does housing-focused outreach. So every time we go on the street all over the county, as we engage with individuals, housing is first and foremost our point of engagement. You know, we work with them to build a rapport. Our outreach team is fantastic. And we really try to put together a housing plan from day one. And the goal is to get somebody into an apartment or indoors as quick as possible. And this philosophy has really transcended into across the board policy throughout the community, all the outreach teams, our local continuum of care, where we really look at now ways to triage people into housing. And what we found is significant cost savings in terms of access to emergency services. People are, using much more preventative ways of accessing healthcare once they're in housing. Our outreach team is now equipped with the tools to be able to house individuals quickly off the street, straight from the street, as opposed to steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. To access housing. It's now a straight shot indoors.
Can you talk more about the costs, the money going into this system to provide housing versus the benefits, including, as you mentioned, hopefully lower healthcare costs?
Yeah, so when we started this back in 2015, we looked at the first 85 participants in our program, and we looked at the emergency services that they accessed prior to going into housing. And then we looked at the 12 months after they were in housing. And so we looked at detox, psychiatric crisis services, inpatient services, and crisis mobile calls. And after they were in housing for 12 months, we saw a significant drop in those services to a little over $700,000 compared to when they were homeless. And really what that spoke to was just the essential, simple stability of housing and being having a stable, dignified place to live and wake up every day. And to build on that, it's a baseline to sort of build your life and get access to more consistent care, consistent services. And also our community-based case management that we wrap around individuals once they're in our program helps a lot with that. That juxtaposition of access to care when they were on the street compared to when they were in housing really helped push the program forward and showed its efficacy to the community.
We're talking to Eric Collins-Dyke from the Milwaukee County Housing Division, looking at the housing first approach to homelessness in that county and how it's worked over the last 7 or so years. Eric, you've mentioned substance abuse and addiction, a common problem, not a universal problem, but a common problem for people experiencing homelessness. What have you learned about outcomes in dealing with addiction and substance abuse for people who are on the street versus people who have this housing?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think, too, in terms of the way we look at the issue and all the complexities that are sort of wrapped around someone who's experiencing homelessness, it first and foremost is a housing problem. They're homeless because they don't have housing. And so I think the way we look at it from a harm reduction standpoint, if somebody is actively using and dealing with certain things to help them deal with the trauma they've had in their life, is it's much easier and much more therapeutic and much more holistic to address those things once somebody is in housing. Trying to survive on the street and the daily grind, you know, people are just trying to get through the day. And so I think once we get them into housing, no matter where they're at, whether they're actively using or they're sober, we put together a plan and collaboration with them that works for them. And it looks different for everybody. You know, I think what we've seen, you know, housing in its just in its essence can lead to some mitigation and use, can lead to wanting to move forward potentially towards sobriety or getting active treatment. And we also support people where they're at, like once they're in there, and if that's not something they can do right away. But being able to do that once they're in housing compared to when they're on the street is such a healthier way and more dignified way to do things. And the folks that we serve on the street, they deserve that.
Now, since 2015, have you seen a lot of what you consider to be success stories from the people you've been working with to provide this housing?
So we've seen a lot of individuals that were homeless a long time, 5, 10, 15 years, get into our program and stay in our program. We have over a 96% retention rate, meaning since they've been in, they've stayed in, which we're really proud of. I also think it's allowed us to be more creative in our street outreach and the other teams in the community as well. They now have more tools in terms of having quicker access to housing resources that they can offer to folks directly off the street, as opposed to just some of the more traditional street outreach. You know, we now have this housing focused lens whenever we're on the street, whenever we're engaging with individuals. And I think it's sort of helped show that there can be a direct relationship between street outreach and permanent housing. You know, we can get folks directly into housing off the street. And I also think, you know, as we've shown efficacy of the program across the system, it's allowed other programs to attach themselves to this philosophy and build policies around it. So their programs are housing first as well.
And we hear more and more about housing shortages, unaffordable housing, and also a limited numbers of federal housing vouchers. Do you have the tools you need to serve as many people as you would hope to?
I think we always need more resources. You know, one thing I'll say is we always will need more affordable housing. You know, as I said earlier, you know, homelessness on its face is a housing problem. Yes, there are many other complexities and layers to it, but more affordable housing is the number one thing that we continue to need to advocate for across the board. You know, every year we have new inflow into our system, more individuals experiencing housing insecurity. And so the consistent resource of affordable housing is needed. It's the number one thing that I think can get us to our goal and reduce homelessness, not only in our community, but across the state and across the country.
Yeah. In our last half a minute, Eric, if somebody's listening in another community wants to try this, one piece of advice to get them started.
So I would encourage you definitely to engage with local landlords and make sure that you develop those relationships as well. I also think educating the community on housing first and all the layers to it. Many times folks think it's just the housing component, and there's a large service delivery element to it as well. So it's not only getting individuals into housing quickly and using that housing as human right as your lens, but also providing significant case management services once they're in there to support them as they integrate back into the community.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Eric Collins-Dyke, Assistant Administrator of Supportive Housing and Homeless Services for the Milwaukee County Housing Division. He talked to us about the county's Housing First program.